I hope you're having a great day. This is Daniel Gregory. Thank you so much for joining me for the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is episode 319 of the podcast. I really do appreciate you tuning in. A couple of quick announcements before we jump into today's topic. Don't forget, there's a Lightroom Summit on May 3rd through 7th, which is a free summit, but you can also get a VIP pass currently on sale for $99, rather than the regular $149. That will give you unlimited access to that conference after it is completed. So again, May 3rd through 7th, if you're interested in learning an amazing amount of Lightroom content, materials, all sorts of cool classes, feel free to check that out. Again, my classes are on the magic of profiles, and also on DSLR scanning and incorporating that into your Lightroom workflow if you've got some old film scans laying around. I also have a couple of spots left in my Meaningful Image workshop. So if you're interested in checking that out, that's about finding meaning and conversation in your work and how you create and understand your own voice and vision style and how you create images that are truly your own. So go ahead and check that out. Links for both of those are in the show notes. So today I wanted to talk about something that came up in a quick conversation, and then I've got family members who've suffered from various eye issues that have affected their eyesight. So there's a genetic component to it. There's also this little notion and game that I like to sometimes think about in terms of how do I respond to the world and what I see and don't see. And that's what would happen if I significantly lost my eyesight, or my eyesight was significantly altered enough that it materially impacted my ability to make photographs and to create photographs. What would that mean? How would that shift my experience? And there are some amazing photographers, and there's some amazing photography out there created by people who have very limited eyesight or are completely blind and can't see anything. And yet, still, through the power of photography, they're finding ways to create compelling photographs to share their experience through the world. And a lot of photography gets described as, you know, seeing the world and then recording what we see on that film. But there's so much more in meaningful photography beyond that. There's the emotional aspect, the psychological aspect, the narrative, the storytelling. And while it's probably easier to be able to frame things up and see those frames and compositions after we kind of approach what matters, so much of photography is at a level that is deeper than that when we connect to it. It's not simple f-stop, shutter speeds, compositional lines, forms, shapes, and tones. There's something much more meaningful behind it, something more rich behind it, that allows us to communicate in a much more interesting and significant way. And so a limited impact of eyesight, a limited ability to see, doesn't, I think, change the overall equation of what makes a compelling photograph. Again, a compelling photograph, a meaningful photograph, is one that shares our experiences, our stories of our life in a meaningful way because of the authenticity of that and the willingness to risk sharing that story, no matter what it may be. And so while it might be challenging, I don't think it diminishes any aspect of the connection we have to photography. And I think part of the exercise for me that's been interesting is, as I've looked at photographs and I've thought about my photographs, I've thought about, well, how would I describe my photograph? Now, how would I articulate out what that photograph actually is? And what does it mean if I had to rely on other communication forms than seeing the photograph? How would I articulate what that photograph's about? How would I say what is in that photograph and what's meaningful about that photograph? Because that is at the heart of our conversations about photographs. Of course, we look at the photograph. Of course, we see the photograph. But the conversation that happens in our own head about that photograph, and then having the language and the skills and the vocabulary to then describe that experience in a purpose-built, meaningful way to another individual, so that you can share what you see in the photograph compared to what they see in the photograph. And then how do you respond to what was thought and felt by the photographer potentially at that moment? That is a language construct that I don't think necessarily requires us to have the ability to see the photograph in the way we use the common vernacular of seeing the photograph today. I think if we challenge ourselves to really look deep and meaningfully into photographs and think about describing the photograph in a way that you actually can't see the photograph. You know, you are telling somebody what you're looking at. what you're responding to, how you're feeling, how you're not feeling when you look at a given photograph. And what are all of those elements within that image? And so instead of saying, well, there's a diagonal from right to left that creates energy, you know, what are the descriptive languages around that that would allow somebody who wasn't looking at that photograph to see and understand that photograph? Because that's really the challenge, I think, of seeing a photograph is it's not even so much that we see or don't see behind the camera from a physical, our eyes work standpoint, but that we don't see behind the camera because we don't take the time to actually see behind the camera. We respond to things, we react to things, we process things, and then we edit our images in this hope that we will find significance, we will find meaning. But yet if we ask ourselves, can we articulate really at the core what that photograph is, what it is not? How does it relate to who I am and my experience and my story in the universe? I think that becomes a bigger challenge. And I think the skill of not being able to necessarily see and yet still respond to all of your other senses, all of your other heightened abilities and awareness to make the photograph allows you to connect in a much more meaningful way to the work. And so when we look at a photograph that is driven and compelled by emotion, by thought, by sound, by smell, by taste, and how those create and paint a picture, I think that becomes a more compelling photograph. And I think in some ways we get lazy because we do have the benefit of being able to use our eyes to see, to frame, to compose. But that laziness that says, oh, well, this is just organically interesting because I understand design and composition, doesn't mean that we've created a compelling photograph. It doesn't mean that we've created a significant photograph. Again, we've created a technically perfect photograph that might be, again, soulless and devoid of any meaning. And yet our inability to articulate that, to describe that, I think becomes a hindrance in our approach to our photography. And so as I imagine, you know, what would my life look like if all of a sudden I got in a car accident and lost my sight? Would that change my photography? Well, absolutely it would. There'd be, you know, arrogant to think it wouldn't. But would it stop my photography? Would it stop my appreciation of photography? I'm not sure that it would. I think it would definitely shift the conversations I would have around photography. But it doesn't mean that I don't see. It doesn't mean that I can't imagine. Because if you think about how you photograph now and how you edit, oftentimes the reality of what was in front of your camera and ultimately what comes out of your finished image, those aren't necessarily the same. You have used your imagination. You have used something else in your storytelling to tell a narrative and a story in a way that you find interesting that may or may not be truthful in the sense of that was exactly what was presented there. You know, that sunset color may not have been Pantone 4936 or whatever color you ultimately settled on for that piece. Maybe you decided to use a telephoto lens instead of a wide-angle lens because you wanted to separate objects within the frame. Whatever it is, you've already used this imagination, this heightened sense of awareness of creating and crafting the photograph. And so to be able to use your own imagination to think about what a photograph looks like, to think about how you respond to it, how you feel about the photograph, to me, it gets interesting because if you think about one of your own photographs now, if you just close your eyes and I ask you to describe that photograph in a way that makes sure that it conveys what's possible for somebody who's never seen the photograph to fully understand what that photograph was about, can you do that? Can you take that step to spend the time to really understand the subtle nuance? And I think that's an interesting challenge for all of us because I think one of the things that does is it helps us understand, one, that what we see behind the camera and how we see by the camera is fundamentally driven by our experience of who we are. I think it also tells us that we are, in fact, bounded by the limitations of our ability to describe and articulate what we have and don't have. Because in some ways, that limits our imagination of what's possible. So by seeing and looking and talking and imagining a different world, a different space, a different composition, a different what's possible, we start to stumble into what is uniquely ours in the creation of the photograph. And I think that's why when we look at photographs, and going back to some of those amazing photographers with limited eyesight or who have gone blind and continue to photograph, and looking at that work and why that work is so interesting is the narrative, the imagination, the experience of the world is still unfolded through that camera. It's still articulated through the experience behind the camera lens. It's just done in a different way. It's done again through that experience of who is that person and their willingness to share what that experience is like. And for those of us who are still able to see and able to work behind the camera in that way, I think it becomes an interesting opportunity to learn from that, that so much of seeing is about understanding and being able to share that understanding with others. And the willingness to do that, I think, defines what makes great photography. It's what makes great art, is that willingness to put that out there, to engage in that conversation. And so for me, I think, you know, definitely, like I said, it would be arrogant not to think things changes, but I do think the questions to ask about what does a photograph look like, or what does my own photograph look like to somebody else if I had made it, and to push that conversation, to ask the right questions, to gain the right insights, to drive that notion forward of allowing my imagination to see what that photograph would look like based on the language of others, and helping others to make sure that they have the language to explain to me what they're seeing, I think would be an interesting exercise, an interesting experience, an interesting challenge. And I think it's one that I could take today and apply to my own work. Can I sit down with my own photograph and can I truly describe what that photograph is as if I had never seen it before? Can I articulate that? And it's probably more than the five words I usually get out of myself and out of others when I ask them to describe a photograph. Oh, it's a black and white. There's some mountains and some poofy clouds and it's kind of pretty and there's a tree in the corner. Like, what else is there? What shows up in that photograph that we don't see, but we respond to? And so I think it was, for me, it's been a really an interesting kind of week to 10 days to be thinking about this, because it's, you know, it's possible. You never know what life leads. But again, I don't think it necessarily changes my interest or desire to stay connected into photography, because it's been such an important part of my life. And at the same time, I still think it's an important conversation to have going forward. Like I said at the beginning, it's a little bit of a morbid topic, but I think it'd be something for interesting for you to think about in terms of how would you want your photographs described to you? And how would you want the photographs of others described to you if you, in fact, couldn't see that photograph? And it's a pretty easy way to practice with your friends and to practice with yourself. You know, have a photograph that the other person's not looking at and really describe it, and then show it to them and see what they see that you didn't see and how they responded, and see if you can build that strength and that muscle memory up. I think you might find it's an interesting exercise. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's podcast. I really do appreciate you listening, no matter what podcast platform you're on. If you want to help others find the podcast, go ahead and rating or review up there. We'll help others find the podcast through the magic of computer algorithms. So thanks so much for doing that. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time.